Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again. So if today you hear a little extra ambient room noise, it's because the Spectrum show is on the road. We are at the China Institute in Lower Manhattan, and we are here to speak with a musician who happens to be an American-Chinese rap artist, and his name is Bohan Phoenix. So let's pop into one of the classrooms at the China Institute, sit down, and speak with Bohan.
I think you're the first rap artist that we've actually
had. My honor. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Steve.
No, really, it's great. You're originally from Chengdu.
Originally from Hubei.
Hubei, okay.
Yeah. But then family relocated to Chengdu, and now the family is in Chengdu.
And the food's better.
Oh, the food's way better.
In Chengdu, in Sichuan.
Uh-huh, definitely.
Good. So tell us, you came to the U.S., I think, when you were 10 or 11?
Yeah, in between.
What was your growing up in China days that you can remember?
Yeah, Hubei was very, especially Yichang, you know, it was a smaller tier than Wuhan even was, you know. So it was pretty rural. You know, my grandparents still had certain crops in the back. We shared our houses with, you know, other families. So I remember it being a very simple but very rural but awesome childhood. Probably better than childhood kids growing up in, like, a bigger city, you know, Shanghai and whatnot. But, I left pretty early. Left at 11. And then after that, going back, things were just already starting to change. You know, every year I go back to visit. Prior to the family moving to Chengdu, things were changing fast.
Did you have any music in your life when you were little, as a kid?
So my dad, who was never around, but he was out of the picture before I was born. But he was a musician in Dongguan. So he was singing in nightclubs, singing in lounges. You know, so maybe there was that, you know, that came down. But I really didn't get into music personally until moved to the States.
When you were that young and still in China, did you have any career trajectory? Did you want to be anything in particular?
You know what? I can't remember. I know now we see, like, kids talk about where they went. I don't really remember anything specifically, you know.
So when you came to the U.S., did you come directly to the New York area, or did you make some stopovers?
Yeah, so I first came, I jumped from Yichang to Newton, Massachusetts, which is, anybody knows Newton, it's a very, on paper, a very wealthy town, you know, a suburb outside of Boston. And yeah, I went to middle school and high school there, and it was a very good place for me to transition from, simply because it was very liberal, and I had a lot of Chinese people there as well, and then the non-Chinese people were also very tolerant, you know, and that really helped transition from not speaking Chinese at all of a sudden jumping into social cues and stuff like that, you know.
And then what brought you to New York?
Music. Yeah,
that was,
yeah.
That was after your career kind of got sailing a bit?
I mean, you know, I was really interested in hip-hop through watching 8 Mile, you know, through just learning, like, the songs. It made me feel cool. It gave me, like, something to relate to with other kids, you know, people who like hip-hop. But, you know, I didn't really get close to music until high school when I was in gospel choir. You know, I wanted to get closer to actual music, not just hip-hop. And after 2 years in gospel choir, I realized what I wanted to do. And that's when I decided to pursue it as a career. And I thought New York, or LA, and New York was closer to Boston, which was where my mom was.
Was your influence, your rap influence, did it come more through listening to recordings of other rap artists, or were there kids your age that would take you to concerts, or that would talk the talk and walk the walk and be little mini rap people in their own right?
Yeah, no, honestly, nobody else in my school was really trying to rap besides me, this kid that barely really spoke English, you know. and I remember people coming to the Jubilee concerts, the gospel choirs, just to see me rap on stage, you know, like with the choir behind me. My influences really came from people that I was listening to. And I was really into the style of storytelling, and that is kind of the style that I choose to run with today, you know. And I think that's what gives me my inspiration kind of just daily life and my story.
Some folks have referred rap music to poetry of sorts.
100%.
And
so I mean, some stray from it, you know, but
right.
The structure of it.
What's your writing plan? How do you set? You write
process,
it like a poem, like a poet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to have notebooks upon notebooks, you know, all handwritten. But I'm not gonna lie, I've fallen into the just pull up the notepad in the iPhone and just type it up, you know. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot of times inspiration come from just, like the other day, I was watching this movie, it's a Bollywood movie, you know, this kid talking to another kid about, we can't just live like the two comma children. And then the other kid goes, what's the two comma children? You know, them kids with two commas in the bank, $1 million kids. You know, I was like, oh, wow, two comma, you know. So I had this other beat, and I had this hook. It's like, I had to learn English when I first came to this country. My mama said, learn the language and you get the money. I guess I wasn't ever good with grammars, punctuations, but I know one thing is for sure, two commas make a million. You know, so it's like, stuff like that, it'll come. And other times you hear the music and, you know, emotions come and you get some ideas. It's really all...
You have not... actually veered too far away from your foreign roots because you have some of your song titles.
Yeah.
I've got like, you know, foreign names.
Chinese in it, yeah.
Or like, I think, Overseas.
Overseas.
And Foreign. Yeah. And then I like the one, Jala, which
Jala.
Is spicy.
Yeah,
which,
add yeah. spice, extra
yeah.
spicy.
That's a kid video. You had did that where?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
That was in New York.
That's it?
Yeah, I was in New York. The restaurant was my friend's restaurant, and I found a clock tower in Harlem. Paid the guy like $200. We hopped in there, and then my friends ran around the city looking like crazy people. But yeah, it was fun, you know. Like Jala, you know, it's a product. I'm a product. I was born in China, moved to the States, and now I'm back in China. You know, it's kind of like Nike. That's why I have the logo like Nike. It's like made in China, packaged in the States, sold back to China. I'm just a product of my environment, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah, you know, I think. I started off, everything starts with imitation, you know. I started off rapping just in English, but as I realized, as I grew it, I realized part of me should be also part of my music, and that's when I started adding in the, you know.
I mean, logically, words. One would suspect that in China, the sector that would appreciate rap music would be young males.
100%.
And, how
young
are,
males,
how
young,
are you received?
Young boys and girls.
Yeah, of course.
And girls, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, usually we find one, you find the other.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
But, yeah, how do you find your reception when you go over there?
Yeah, I'm confusing to most, the general fan public, because they, you know, the English part is hard for them to understand. But a lot of the bigger artists in China who are rapping in Chinese only are slowly beginning to add English because they realize, oh, this is going to give me more appeal, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of already been doing that. So people in the last couple of years have been slowly catching on to what I'm doing, but now I say more people are understanding what it is that I'm trying to do.
What kind of venues or locales do you perform at?
Yeah, so in China, there's a lot of live houses, man. Like I do anywhere between 300 people to like 1,000 people places. Depending on the city. Chengdu, obviously, is a good city because that's like home.
Does it vary by the locale, the region, the province?
Oh, yeah. Like, the first-tier city is always a lot of people, Beijing, Shanghai. You know, even Chengdu is considered a first-tier city now. Kunming, you know, the smaller places. Guizhou, you know, Guiyang. You definitely get, you know, smaller audiences.
I saw you performing right near Tiananmen Square with the picture of Mao in the background.
Yeah,
How did that work out?
I mean, honestly, that was 2015, my first time going back to China as like an adult, and I didn't know the rules. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I had known, if someone had told me not to do it before that, I would not have done it. I'd have been like, oh no, that's dangerous, that's dumb, you know, like, in front of the government like that. But yeah, we kind of just winged it, you know. And
yeah, I have my picture standing in front of the same picture.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
I wasn't singing. So what are your plans? You're working on a project now. You
yeah.
have been for the last you know, when people put together a new LP or CD or whatever it is these days.
Yeah.
It used to be used to have to do 12 tracks.
Yeah.
And now it's you drop them one at a time.
Yeah, I mean it's a different game you're playing now, man. Like, before, back in the days, you know, it was just as expensive to record as it is to put out a record. You know, now you can record in your basement for nearly free, you know. So when people are filling the market with so many songs, you kind of have to keep up a little bit. But I prefer like projects for sure over singles. But sometimes, you know, I just have too many songs and I just want to put something out. You know?
What's the theme of your coming up project?
So it's all live. It's with the band. My producer from 3Days in Chengdu. We're putting this together. It's 10 songs. Funky, kind of throwback vibes.
This is just a dumb question from a dumb guy like me about the music, but is it orchestrated and set up the same way that a more lyrical piece of music is? I mean, is it as exacting in terms of writing the charts and giving the musicians their parts and their arrangements?
That's exactly what we're doing in the studio.
Is it?
It's exactly what we're doing. Yeah, we have the trombone players come in, we have the horns, we have the strings, we have the Juno, the synth, you know what I'm saying? We have the live drums, the bass, the guitar, and we're not writing any music down because we don't need to. Mm-hmm. We're just
the guys know what to do.
Yeah, they're all jazz musicians from new school. You know what I'm saying? We all know what we're doing.
I ask that only because sometimes rap music can look very spontaneous.
Oh, for sure, but sometimes that's the best part too. You know, like it's really when you're talking about rap music or any music in general, the range in within that genre is so wide. You know, like you talk about rock and roll, like what's rock and roll, right? Like got everybody. You know?
Our guest on Spectrum is Bohan Phoenix, and we are talking to him about rap music, being a Chinese American rap artist.
It's Steve,
and here we are. You're still a young guy, and you've got this project out. Look down the road a couple of years. Where do you think the technology and your career may be headed?
I don't know. I mean, that's up to where my career is headed.
Symphony or something.
Where my career is headed? That's in other people's hands, man. I'm just making music. That's all. I hope to keep making music, to keep putting out music. People like it. That's wonderful. If not, I never started making music for other people anyways. So,
what's your tour schedule? What's your performing schedule up in 2019?
Yeah, we're starting off slow. We have an 8-city tour in March in China.
You're headquartered here in New York, and so are we.
There we
and
go.
Now we won't be strangers anymore.
Absolutely.
So.
Next time when it's warm up, I'm going to come through the studio. That's for sure.
Okay. We've got our own little space right in Long Island City, so we hope to see you. But if anybody's interested in looking at some of your videos, playing some of your tunes, where can they best track you down online?
Yeah, you can. I'm all over, man. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, any of the Chinese streaming sites, Wang Yi, Sami, and Bohan Phoenix.
B-O-H-A-N.
B-O-H-A-N.
Phoenix, as in Phoenix. Arizona.
Yeah, there you go.
And where did that name come from, by the way?
So Bohan is my real name.
Really?
Bohan. Yeah, yeah.
Is that like an abbreviation of some Chinese characters? Or
no,
is
it just Bohan.
Just
B-O-H-A-N.
Yeah, cool.
That's my name. And Phoenix, because I spent half my life in China, half my life in the States when I decided to add Phoenix to my name.
Okay.
Because the life in Yichang and life in the States was so different. It was almost like I had a second birth.
Like the rebirth, like the Phoenix
like a
bird.
Rebirth, exactly.
Yeah, cool.
And
great.
Also the rebirth within the music.
Great, excellent. So. Well, thank you so much for participating in our Spectrum show.
100%.
We look forward to tracking you down again at some point in the future.
There we go.
And if I knock on your dressing room door one of these days at some, God forbid, part of the world, you'll
amazing.
Know who the heck I am.
And shout out China America Radio. Thank you for having me.
Great. Thanks, Bart.
Thank you.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.